This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I want to introduce you to an example of excellence, our Hope Award winner this year, Albert Pujols.
My job as a believer is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue to do the best that I can to represent Jesus Christ.
We'll stand where the Lord wants us to stand, and He'll provide the people if it's what's supposed to happen. See what the Lord is putting in front of you now.
I was reminded of a passage from the book of Job. There is hope for a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender branch will not cease.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
I'll be honest with you, I would rather be outside right now. I'm not much on weather reports, but today's one of those exceptions. Wake up in the morning and it was like the world had begun all over anew. It was, I even opened up the windows of the house, turned on the attic fan, and it was like turning over a whole new leaf. It was amazing. Then I come in to LPR and the typical gloom prevails over Jeff and Craig. They just always in such, regardless of how nice the weather is, they'd rather sit in their little cubicle style. I think Craig actually said he'd rather go to a movie on a day like this. And work and work and work. I could not resist the temptation to actually go for a walk about a half hour ago. Of course, I needed it too, but now it's time to work again.
Sorry, Todd, but some of us have real work to do around here.
That's true. I'll readily admit that. My workload here permits me many a walk, many a day. I could probably leave for half the day and make very little impact on the actual productivity around here. In fact, most days I'm only here for half a day and make very little impact on the productivity. Meanwhile, Jeff is diligently back in his office sorting through your email, Craig sorting through your comments, because on Fridays we always do listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Let's hit the email then. I mean, if we got to do it, we got to do it.
Why don't you give the lineup for the whole day first?
Oh, yeah. Shows how little I want to be here. No, I actually like being here. It's just these guys stare at me all day long. I get to stare over their shoulders at what looks like the Garden of Eden out there. I mean, really, it looks like the Garden of Eden. Listener email and Issues Etc. comment line in the better part of the first hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, September the 3rd. Then Issues Etc. blog of the week. In the second hour, great guest. Dr. Russell Moore of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary has written recently, he's actually blogged about Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor Rally. The blog post called God, the Gospel, and Glenn Beck. He's going to join us for his take on Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor Rally that was held last weekend in Washington, D.C. Kind of a Mormon religious revival that was attended by Christians, and Christians didn't seem to mind too much. Then Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. We've got four soundbites of Issues Etc. audio to play for you, and then you get to vote for soundbite of the week. And for the next 2 hours, you can call or email, send us a tweet, or visit our Facebook fan page, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Bob writes, I love Issues Etc. I listen on my iPod and in my car. I do fast forward through the intro, but all 10 of the episodes in my most recent downloads included Thrivent tags. They are offering their crumbs in their new advertising campaign disguised as a giving program. Don't waste your intro, writes Bob.
Well, it's true that the amount of charitable dollars that might come our way through the Thrivent program are not to be compared with other programs they've had or perhaps other sources. But look, we are listener-supported. We're just giving our listeners one more way to support us, big and small. And as long as our listeners keep us on the air, we're going to try and find every way that is convenient for them and that is useful for them to support Issues, etc. So we're not going to rule out any. We look at a lot of different ways to help our listeners support Issues, etc. It's a big part of what we do all the time. We realize that our listeners keep us on the air. We know this. And they've done a great job, by the way, for the last 2 years plus. Now, and we do that because we want to give them a way to do it. And we've looked at all sorts of different things. Some of them are not cost effective. Some of them are actually not worth our time. They may be too expensive up front, or they may not be practical for our listeners or for us. But this one is. So I understand the concern there, but we want our listeners to have every convenient way they can to support Issues, etc. Oh, I guess I should say what we're talking about here. It's called Thrivent Choice, and this is something that a lot of charitable organizations are doing through Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click donate, and you'll find the logo for Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. And when you click there, it will tell you all about how you can help support Issues, etc. through Thrivent Choice. You will have to search for Lutheran Public Radio because that's how we're known, since Lutheran Public Radio produces Issues, etc.
Here's an email in reaction to your interview yesterday with Gretchen Passantino answering the question, is abortion the lesser of two evils? It comes from Irene. Irene writes, I rarely disagree with you, but on that comment about women are better than that, I do, the reason being that sinners aren't any better than that. That's why Jesus was crucified, right? But it was nice of you to say we are. Good if it motivates, but it really isn't true. In the Old Testament, God is speaking to the Israelites and says that the most gentle among you would eat their kids if they wished to be apart from him, if I got that right. Apart from God, the sinful nature is all we have, and it can justify anything. Amazing that in this state, sin doesn't appear as sin. Christian or not, if we ignore him, we fall back into the flesh and become insensitive and cruel. We sure are bad off. No wonder the flesh has to die. Any good that we do is Jesus Christ. The idea these days that we're doing the good and only need his strength, how could we be doing any good if there's none that dwells in us? The unbelievers that want abortion, no matter what is said, will rescind only if they are forced to by majority. How can they think that if you compare evil with evil, you could get a right answer? So I can steal your goods and not kill you, and that makes you stealing. And that makes stealing okay. Stealing is a lesser crime, not. So keep up the good work, writes Irene.
I actually was trying to address those who are arguing in favor of abortion as the woman's right trumps the right to life of the baby. I was trying to address those who have been sucked in by radical feminism, who do believe that they will tell us everything that women are capable of and everything they're entitled to. And I was kind of conceding that part of the argument, not denying original sin or total depravity, but rhetorically trying to address this notion that if women are as great as the women's movement has said they are, then they're certainly better than getting their rights to whatever it is, privacy, child-free existence, whatever it is, at the cost of their children.
An email from Dave, who listens in Huntington, West Virginia. I had to disagree with Pastor Zill, Marcus Zill. We talked to him about preparing your pastoral advice for college students and their parents. And Dave says, I had to disagree with Pastor Zill when he talked about homeschooling and Christian schooling, sheltering your young people from interacting with the fallacious ideas presented blithely on college campuses. If the parents and schools are doing their job, students from a Christian home or classroom school background are prepared to identify falsehood and confront it with God's truth. Most of the serious homeschoolers I deal with, and I deal with hundreds on a yearly basis, take pains to teach their children to engage the worldview of unbelievers in a sound biblical manner. They make sure they are working with their children in biblical theology, apologetics, and systematics. They have a strong tendency to seek out training and experience in debate and public speaking. Our experience has been that the government-run schooled students are more likely to be those who swallow the secular philosophies without question. Their parents tend to be the ones who do not engage themselves in the students' lives and work with them to catechize them and train them to answer the views they see. Sadly, in many Christian schools, often rightly named sort of Christian Academy, students are given nothing but shelter from the world, or worse yet, they are simply fed the same secular views but have Bible verses tacked on. The parents send them off to Christian schools thinking they have discharged their duty to train up their children. In the final analysis, it is the engaged parents engaging their children's minds, teaching them how to think and respond to aberrations and philosophy they run into in the world, including in their local church and youth group or Christian education program, who end up being the key in raising children to live and think as Christians in their culture. Keep up the work engaging the parents on issues, etc., writes Dave in West Virginia.
Well, I think with Pastor Zill, I don't think, if I'm remembering correctly, I don't think Pastor Zill was addressing homeschooled kids in particular, but I think he was saying that in his experience, and he has considerable experience working on a secular college campus, university campus, as a Lutheran pastor there, he says in his experience, it's the kids that were raised sheltered from a lot of this stuff that are the least equipped. I think that's all he was trying to say. And I might be wrong, but I don't think he said anything about homeschooling or even parochial school. I think he just thought about, we were talking about the kids who were raised more sheltered from the circumstances out there in the real world that had a hard time when they got to college. They were a bit shocked by it. What's next? Oh, only 1 minute. It's like it's the first time I've ever done radio.
Have you checked out for Labor Day weekend or what?
I told you, I'm sleepy. That's why when I took a walk, I got really sleepy. I ate a tuna sandwich and then, and Craig thinks it's the oatmeal cookie, but I ate a tuna sandwich and the next thing I know, I'm really, really sleepy. So, yes, I have checked out for Labor Day weekend, but it's only because of the post-lunch lull. I don't know why it is. I'll try and wake up in the middle. If you let me take a walk during the break, then maybe I'll remember to do the very basic things of hosting a radio program when I come back. It's Friday afternoon, September the 3rd, going through your listeners' email. Stay tuned. If you call, I will answer. If you follow, I'll pick you up. Are you looking for a new devotional resource? Well, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September is titled God Grant It, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase God Grant It by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Christ-centered, cross-focused devotional resource, God Grant It, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Hello. Is it me you're looking for? Well, I wonder where you are. Yeah, that's going to wake me up. You know what it is? It's I've already done 2 hours of radio today. That's what it is. We've been making some preparations for, as we refer to him, Jeff CTCR Schwarz is getting ready to take one of these junkets.
No junket for me. I'm not even going to stay overnight in St. Louis at Crown Plaza. I'm driving home.
He's going to go and lay under those big white crisp duvets that they have. Bathrooms with the bidet in there. He's with the marble floors, the way all the Synodical executives do. And he's going to do this next weekend as part of his big CTCR duties. These long secret meetings that they have there, deciding weighty matters. And so, what do we have to do? We have to get ready not only for Labor Day, but also for the Friday after. And Jeff is already grooming himself. I've seen him primping in the bathroom back here because he's gonna be rubbing shoulders with Matt Harrison and all these people at the big what do they call this? The big soiree that they're having on a Saturday.
It's called an installation.
An installation, and then there's a barbecue afterwards, and Jeff is trying to pick out what clothes do you wear to a barbecue, his finest suit. He doesn't want to get this dirty. It's like watching somebody get ready for the prom. And so we have to do 2 hours of radio today, even before we come on and do 2 hours of radio.
First of all, that's how dedicated
we are to our listeners to make sure that they have fresh radio.
Several errors in what you just stated. But let's begin with the fact that meetings on Thursday and Friday, right?
Yes.
We're doing a live show on Thursday, but you were the one that stepped in and you and Craig and said, no, let's take Friday off too.
I have no recollection of that.
Yes. Craig.
Look, we're just trying to save Jeff from having a stroke, because if he were trying to sit in a Synodical meeting, which can be frustrating enough for him. And then he's worrying about what's happening back over here, and he's probably monitoring the show and trying to produce the show from the meeting, which he can do, by the way. We're living in the 21st century. He can do a very good job of – he's done it from on vacation before. But what we're worried about is that his Flexol intake has already just gone through the roof in the last couple of weeks. He comes in here. It smells like –
peppermint.
It smells like grandpa's coming to visit, and so he walks in my office smells like peppermint all the time when he walks in.
Well, that's not so bad. Then you have the vanilla spray, and
that's true.
Then I have to open the doors and the windows and blow this place out. So,
we're just trying to keep him from having a stroke.
From what I remember, he told me earlier that it was you who wanted Friday off. But no, I didn't have any input in that. I don't have that recollection, Senator.
I'm just trying to make sure that we can continue to do the show after the first round of the CTCR meetings, Yes, Jeff is. What's the other factual error? I'm sure you want to point this out.
Which one?
Well,
the primping for the CTCR. No,
I've
meeting,
seen that.
yeah, I'm primping, buddy. But actually, I am getting my haircut after the show tonight.
You are not going to be staying at the Crown Plaza.
No,
overnight.
I refuse to spend Grandma Schmidt's hard-earned. What do they call those little boxes? Little mites. The mite boxes. The mite boxes.
But you're talking about Grandma Schmidt writes her check on Sunday morning in her shaky hand to LCMS Synod and Missions. And some of that money does go to, what shall we call this? The junkets. Some of it does. It's not all junkets, but some of it is. And, it's one of the ways that a church bureaucracy can suck you in and create a sense of obligation and eventually rob you of your soul. But it's through the comped dinners, the stipends, and the nice rooms with the bidet and the duvet and the beautiful views and all those kind of things.
Right. And I am not. I'm just going to the installation, going straight home. No barbecue.
Really?
Straight home. I need help because Beth leaves for an 8-day trip. On Sunday, this Sunday. So I've got that going on. I never help my kids with their homework hardly at all. I don't even know how to do this stuff. Fortunately, I have, St. Carol, my mother, and St. Bill down the street from me to help me out. But we got 8 days without Beth. That's chaos in itself. Then CTCR meetings, Synodical meetings. My goodness. So pray for me. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. You know, I don't know if I can report on what happens in CTCR. They make you find these sign these like conflict of interest things, and everything's
there. You
everything
go.
That happens behind closed doors.
It
you know,
begins.
Stays behind. Well, I haven't signed mine yet. Just so you know.
Okay, good.
I haven't signed it.
Well, if you're like me, I think I went 3 years working for KFUO and didn't sign one of the conflict of interest things, and then finally they made me do it, but. I think I've made it 3 years without doing it. You could get halfway through your CTCR term, if you're lucky, if no one's paying attention.
Hey, just got an email from Ron and is listening in Minnesota. He says, I think Todd is jealous, Jeff.
Of what?
Of the Dubais and the
and the bidets,
and bidets and all that
no.
stuff. Yes, you are.
No, it is.
Yes,
it
you
is.
Are. You've been sucked in. You're going to run for something 3 years from now. And unlike me, you will be staying at the Crown Plaza
hey,
with Maria.
No, if that were ever to happen... I would.
And
I
your
want
cats.
I want the penthouse, and it's not the Crown Plaza. I want the penthouse of something downtown, and yeah, that's what I expect. That's how we'll spend Grandma's mission money. Yes.
Here's criticism from Steve in Pennsylvania. He's talking about the show on Glenn Beck and Christianity. If you're asking us as listeners whether or not Christians should be allowed to worship with, pray with non-Christians, my answer would be no. Prayer is not a means of grace. It is a fruit of faith. First, we are united in what God's word says. Then we express that unity. From the audio clip you played, Glenn Beck made it pretty clear that if we just pray together, even if we worship different gods, that will bring about good. My response to that is this. Do not throw your pearls to swine, and what fellowship does light have with darkness? However, it does bring back a question I asked months ago. Co-mingling our prayers with unbelievers is a sin in this instance. What about other instances? On July 15, 2009, you spoke with Pastor Cum from Wyoming. He served as a chaplain for a day for the House of Representatives. He prayed with people of many faiths, no doubt even pugnacious atheists and maybe even Mormons. Now, I could see maybe, perhaps if he were allowed to preach to the House without any restrictions, that might possibly be okay. But to assume a unity which isn't present and to pray with the members of the House is essentially the same as praying with Glenn Beck at one of his rallies. Prayer is not a means of grace. As a response to my email that time, you mentioned that even though you yourself would not have prayed before Congress, you said that it was allowed in Scripture. And by the way, thank you for the response. I cannot see how praying with people with whom we are not in confessional agreement is an adiaphoron. I write these words not to be irritating or offensive. I would just simply like to know where you guys are coming from. It seemed pretty clear that you thought it was wrong to pray with Glenn Beck because he was a Mormon. If that's true, then why is it okay for chaplains to lead unbelievers in prayer? As often as I listen to your podcast, I'm thoroughly amazed at so many of them. They speak the truth well and in clear, creative ways I never could. But there are times like these when I wonder what is going on, writes Steve in Pennsylvania.
Okay, I mean, we're in agreement on the whole Glenn Beck thing. Now, I'm trying to remember what my reasoning was with regard to the chapel, the praying as a chaplain for a day for the United States Senate. And, I mean, as best as I can recall, and I might be wrong, I think I might make a distinction here between being asked to lead a prayer wherein no one else is necessarily even praying with you. You're just leading a prayer. By the way, this thing is usually done to a largely empty room, which may mean something. It may just be tossing your prayer out there. As opposed to explicitly either inviting or being invited by someone of another faith to pray with them. That's where I see some part of the distinction here. To say, would you lead a prayer publicly? You don't know who's out there. I mean, if this were the case, no one could ever pray publicly at all. Because you don't know who's out there. And you don't know, well, for instance, you don't know when you go to church whether when the pastor is praying publicly, everyone in the whole church is a believer. You don't know for sure. So there has to be some sense in which leading public prayer, even before a mixed audience, is different than a Mormon saying, let's pray together, and you do. Or you praying along with the Mormon or the Muslim or the Jew, whatever it may be. I mean, that's all the farther this I can drive the distinction. If, in fact, we have to be rock solid certain that everyone within earshot of our prayer is either not praying along or is of the same faith, then we can never pray publicly. I think sometimes maybe the best way to put this is public prayer, and this is the way I'd understand it in terms of the Senate, public prayer there is the chaplain praying on behalf of the Senate, not the chaplain praying with the Senate. There are words I would avoid. I would avoid the words, "let us pray," in a context like that, because you do not want to invite someone to unwittingly pray with you when they worship a different God. I would avoid that kind of invitation. I would simply pray, if I were to do it at all.
Quick email from Nancy regarding the Glenn Beck rally. I'm glad you did a story about it because I was very dismayed that so many Christians joined in this mixing with pagan religions, Mormonism, Islam, New Age, etc. This rally was all about what humans can do to change their destiny and not about repenting to the biblical God. Has no one ever learned the lessons of the Tower of Babel? This rally was all about getting together to cobble a man-made God for ourselves, writes Nancy.
I think she put it very well. We're going to be talking about this a little bit later in the program. We'll kick off the second hour of the program with Dr. Russell Moore, getting his thoughts on Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor rally, in particular, the religious flavor of it. I would go farther than that. It wasn't just religious flavor. I don't know what it was intended to be, but I think what it ended up being, if anything else, if nothing else, it's kind of a Mormon religious revival. We'll be right back. Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
At SteadfastLutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Chemotherapy and lemonade usually don't go hand in hand unless you're Jane Poole. This energetic young girl suffers from leukemia and is undergoing 2 years of chemotherapy. Her parents, Todd and Christina from the Denver area, have insurance, but the bills are mounting. Jane wanted to do something to help with medical expenses, so she set up a lemonade stand. Business was brisk. Customers were generous with their donations. Even the local police became paying customers. Jane's goal, of course, was to empty the multiple large containers of lemonade. If anyone can do it, Jane can. She sometimes sports a hot pink wig since the chemotherapy claimed her hair. Jane's an example. God gives life, and we should cherish it. Her prognosis looks good.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
A little leaven leavens the whole lump, and yet we're willing to tolerate false doctrine. We'll quote-unquote Lutheranize the 40 Days of Purpose simply for the sake of drawing people in, whatever that means.
On this land, another group of people were gathered here, and they too were listening to God, God's chosen people, the Native Americans.
Think very critically about, where am I going to go to church when I go off to college? What difference does it make if I gain the whole world yet lose my soul?
How easily Christians confuse a general conservatism with Orthodox Christianity. The two are not the same thing at all.
Well, in about an hour, what is it, about an hour? Yeah, a little bit more than an hour. Soundbite of the week on this Friday afternoon, September the 3rd. We'll be playing 4 soundbites for you and give you a chance to vote for the soundbite of the week. We're going through listener email and the issues, etc. comment line. That's a line that we leave open for our listeners all the time. If you prefer not to email us, if you'd like a more immediate response, every Friday we try to respond, actually sometimes during the week too, to respond to what we get by way of our listeners' responses, criticism, comment from the issues, etc. comment line. It's always open for you. You can call any time and say anything you want to. 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. Here's a question from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hi, guys. This is Ben calling from Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. I'm an active-duty Marine and a loyal and devoted listener who listens to your program on demand here, there, and around the world. I've noticed an absence of sermon reviews. What happened to the segment? I really enjoyed being able to practice asking the three simple questions of how often is Jesus mentioned? If Jesus is mentioned, is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? While listening to the weekly sermon on the show. I would then listen to your commentary to see if my analysis was right on, and then I'd apply it to my pastor's sermon on Sunday mornings. Any chance you'll bring the segment back? Keep up the great work.
It's a great question, and thank you for your service to the country, Semper Fi. Well, we haven't. I mean, I think in the last probably half year, we haven't done nearly as many sermon reviews. And since we've come back on the air independent, we have not done nearly as many sermon reviews as we used to do in the previous years of Issues, etc. That is not so much by design. In many ways, it's kind of a producer question because Jeff has a big hand in deciding what we're going to be doing every day by way of topics and guests, and I think we have kind of slacked off on the sermon reviews. In fact, I think I read an email from someone earlier today asking, you know, where did the sermon reviews go?
Yeah, one of the things, we used to produce 3 hours every day, 5 days a week when we were at KFUO, and now we're down to 10 hours. And that is one of that. You got to realize we did sermon reviews and audio open lines. I went back and looked at some of the old shows. We did almost 8 to 10 hours of programming a week on audio open lines and sermon reviews. So we don't have as much time. I like to hear from our listeners. You know, I've heard complaints. One of the things they don't like are the sermon reviews. Remember we had somebody come in here, I think from Maryland, and it's like, don't even listen to the sermon reviews. So I'd like to know, A, do you want more sermon reviews? We could easily set aside a day to do a sermon review.
Absolutely.
I'd like to know, do people prefer the reviewing the bad ones or the good ones? Or do you like both? You know, because there's two different types of sermon reviews.
I mean, the long and the short of it is it hasn't been by any design. We haven't dropped the segment at all. We simply haven't done as many. And as Jeff said, part of it is because we're doing one less hour every day. And we think that shorter format actually has improved the show markedly. And the other thing is that, to tell you the truth, we want our sermons to be as timely as possible. The best time to do a sermon review is probably on a Monday, and right after the sermon's been preached. And unfortunately, getting the audio for sermons, good quality, broadcast quality audio for sermons, is not always available. And a lot of the pastors that for the good sermons that we would take good sermons from, a lot of them, they don't get their sermons up for week, 10 days, sometimes months. They don't get them up in a good audio format. But we do want to hear from you. If you want us to revive the sermon review, it's never died, but if you want us to kind of wake it up and make it more frequent, we'd be happy to do it.
And, you know, the evangelical, you know, bad sermons that we review, those take a whole hour of the show. So we'd have to spend an hour a week out of the 10 hours we have doing that. So I want to know if you think it's worth it. Or would you rather hear the Orthodox sermons reviewed during the program? So send me an email. It's jeff@issuesetc.org, jeff@issuesetc.org. Thumbs up, thumbs down about sermon reviews. And do you want the Orthodox or unorthodox sermons or both?
By the way, there are a few pastors who I will not name who I would love to review their sermons, but they don't post their sermons. And so you might go and encourage your pastor on Sunday, because it does not take a rocket scientist to do this. If your congregation has a website and maintains it, they probably can post audio there too. If you got a pastor who's just a fantastically good or fantastically terrible preacher, tell him to post his sermons.
Well, that's not the pastor's job. Lay people should be doing that. What are you saying? Pastors should be webmasters?
No, no, no. I'm saying just tell him that he should be – that his sermon should be posted on the web.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right, right. Exactly, exactly. Agree with you there. Speaking of pastors and preaching, here's an email. Is it the correct use of the law during a sermon for the pastor to tell the congregants that they should ask themselves if their zeal is comparable to the zeal of the early Christians in the context of discussing telling others about Jesus? Due to my years in evangelicalism, I am very sensitive to such comments, since from those pulpits I heard many times that if we Christians could just be like the early church, then many people would be converted. I know that the early Christians were sinners and saints like we are. Did God give special grace to them that caused the gospel to spread rapidly, or were they less lazy than we modern Christians are? I always feel discouraged when I try to compare myself to the early Christians. I know that the law shows us our sin, but I am not sure that it is a good idea to measure my zeal against others. Your thoughts are appreciated. Thank you, writes this listener.
Well, I think even... I think the preacher should ask himself whether or not he has zeal comparable to that of the best preachers of the gospel. If he spends his sermon telling you that you need to be more zealous for preaching the gospel, but doesn't preach the gospel to you, he's guilty of the very thing he's accusing you of. And even more so because he's the one who's been called to preach the gospel. It's a little phenomenon so common, especially in Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations, where we hear a lot about preaching the gospel. We hear a lot, we're being told a lot to go tell people the good news. And the pastor sometimes never gets around to actually telling the people the good news. It's amazing. He does exactly what he condemns. He wastes an entire 25, 30 minutes in the pulpit cajoling the people to be better witnesses without actually ever witnessing himself. Hal Sinkbile has one of the greatest things to say about this. He said, "Pastor, if you want me to share the gospel, share it with me every Sunday." And yet, for some reason, in the name of sharing the gospel more, preachers somehow think they can get away with not sharing the gospel every Sunday. Amazing. So, now, to your question, is it right for the preacher to address the law to you in such a way that perhaps you were not as zealous as you could be for within your vocation, bearing witness to the saving work of Jesus Christ for you at the cross? Hey, none of us are zealous enough. None of us are, including you, Pastor. None of us are zealous enough. And if he answers that accusation of the law with the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, the assurance that Christ indeed is zealous for the law, so much more so than we are, that he actually is not sitting there in heaven snapping his fingers saying, why are you letting the souls perish, as though he can do nothing about it. Look at the book of Acts, those earliest Christians. What does it say? It says, the word of the Lord grew. It doesn't say the disciples were extremely zealous for evangelism. It said the word of the Lord grew. It is the word of God that does this work. It does its work from pulpits. It does its work from your vocation, in your life, in your family. And to focus on our zeal is to focus only on our inadequacy to carry this out. You notice the first apostles were not zealous to preach the gospel because they had a little rally to get themselves all zealed up. They were zealous because they actually believed it and they had been forgiven their sins by Christ himself. And they actually believed that Christ's death and resurrection is sufficient to save each and every sinner. But you never see the Apostle Paul or Peter or Jesus himself standing there snapping his fingers saying, why aren't you people zealous, more zealous? Don't you know that every time I snap my fingers, somebody goes to hell? Never. They went forth preaching the word boldly in the face of persecution, assured that the word of God was going to accomplish this, and Jesus wanted sinners saved even more than they do.
It's a quick email regarding the audio open line segment on the construction of a mosque near Tennessee. Paul in England, he says, I live here in England. We have mosques everywhere. Our own faith in Jesus Christ is enough. We shouldn't worry. Let them build. It's all scare tactics. We should not fear man, but only God. Have faith. God bless, writes Paul in England.
Thank you very much. That's referencing the question of that controversial mosque in Tennessee. I'll come back to something that dawned on me while we were talking about that earlier this week. Maybe one reason not to discourage Muslims from moving into your community, setting up a mosque, whatever it may be. How else are we going to bring the gospel to the Muslim world that is largely closed to the gospel legally than for them to come here where the gospel is preached without any restraint? We'll be right back.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org, click support, and publicize your congregation to the world.
How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page, or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today. Welcome back. It's Friday afternoon, September the 3rd, going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. In the second hour of the program, after we pick Blog of the Week to round off this first hour, Dr. Russell Moore is going to join us. He's blogged recently. The post is called God, the Gospel, and Glenn Beck. He is a tremendous guest, Dean of the School of Theology and Senior Vice President for Academic Administration at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. We're going to talk about Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor rally, get his thoughts there. Then Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. Next, a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
This is Herman regarding the water and coffee situation in the Issues Etc. facility. Depending on how ordinary or fancy your coffee maker is, if it's one of those new fancy high-tech jobs, if you want to clean it out, there should be an instruction booklet with it that tells you how to do it. Otherwise, if it's the ordinary type of coffee maker that you put the coffee in the filter and put it in the pocket and then pour the water in and let it come into the glass pitcher or urn, you might want to clean it out with about one-third white vinegar and two-thirds water mixture and just let it run through and make your coffee with distilled water. Bring in a couple of gallon jugs of that distilled water to make your coffee, and that probably take care of your situation there regarding the water in Collinsville as a solution. that in the interim. Take care. Thank you.
I'm amazed at how concerned our listeners are about the quality of the coffee here.
Well, they should be.
They should be. I mean, coffee is an important element. We did try cleaning it out.
Yeah, we tried the vinegar thing, and it still tastes the same.
Yeah, it's the water. There's no doubt about it. One listener has very generously offered to get us hooked up with Hinckley Schmidt. Is that correct?
We got to get back to him.
Yeah, we do. Put that on the list, Craig. And then what else? Well,
hey, you know, I was going through the budget requests for next year. Every LPR employee, each one of us has to put a budget request for next year.
And we do.
I saw something signed TW, and it was for a cappuccino maker.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And it was said TW. I said, it's not CF and it's not JS, so it must be you.
No.
You want LPR. You want Grandma Schmidt's mite box money to go towards your cappuccino maker.
And a
Are
bidet.
You serious?
I want a bidet in the bathroom, too. Yes.
Well, I want to know, your cappuccino maker will make the infamous Wilcachinos?
Well, the Wilcachino can be made in the low-tech manner. I haven't had a Wilcachino in a long time.
You could use one, I'm thinking.
The only person who ever eats, whoever drinks the frou-frou drinks around here, the only person who ever drinks the frou-frou drinks around here is Jeff. You know, it was a couple weeks ago, I told Craig that his nickname was going to be Sugar and Cream. But it really should go to Jeff because that really fits his lifestyle. He walks in here with one of those big frou-frou drinks. It's all frothy and foamy and covered with goo and caramel.
It's a frozen cappuccino from QT.
Then he immediately goes into the bathroom where he primps for hours. And I can hear him just talking about CTCR. And he's got – it's just talking to himself.
I need to make a good first impression on Thursday, you know?
Well, here's
you got to realize I'm an outsider. I mean, look at me. When I walk in there, there's the guy we fired, you know, walking into this room with distinguished people like Larry Rast and Chuck Geeshan and Bob Rosine and – and Andy Bartelt and Gene Garten. And then there's me. Me!
Oh, I can't wait.
You know what I'm going to put in for a budget request is we need to put a shelf in the bathroom for all of Jeff's hair products because I'm tired of going in there and having them all fall off the back of the lid.
All right. Don't even code by hair price. This is the only man. This is the single man. First of all, I do not prim my hair. Secondly, I don't have enough hair to prim. Secondly, do you recall the day Craig took our office scissors and trimmed his own hair in the sink? We still have hair, fighting hair all over the sink. He cut his own hair in front of the mirror.
Hey,
the life of a 30-some-year-old single man.
I cut my own hair.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
I'm talking about the real scissors.
This takes hours, baby. This takes hours. It looks simple, but it isn't. It's very subtle.
Jeff, if I must answer these charges, there was, I don't know, a few hairs that were out of place, and they had to go. It's not a regular thing. I go to a barber, a real barber, not a stylist. Yeah, with the red and white pole out front. Don't go to a stylist. You got to go to a barber. But there was just a few that were out of place.
Okay, here's a real budgetary question. What I want to do is I want to get rid of this chair that I have in here. Okay, this chair, I want to get rid of it. What I want to do, don't laugh at you. Go ahead and laugh. I want to get one of those.
You want one with Paul and like Paul and Jan Crouch has.
No, I want to get one of those workout balls. You know those big gigantic things you see at the gym.
You know that's what Mike Shannon sits on. When
I am
he does
going
the Cardinal
to.
Games.
I am going to sit on one of those.
The color commentator for the St. Louis Baseball Cardinals.
I'm going to sit on one of those next week. I'm coming in with
you
one of those things,
off.
And I'm going to sit on there.
You're not coordinated.
No, I've been
enough.
Practicing at home, and because it's a great workout for your for all parts of your body, and I sit too long. Okay, so I'm going to get one of those. The question is, do I charge it to LPR because it's going to be used as an office chair, or do I pay for it out of my own pocket?
Own pocket. I mean,
Craig says own pocket too.
Own pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you're already getting a cappuccino maker.
All right.
First, it starts with the cappuccino maker. Next thing you know, it's you know the bouncy ball to sit on. What's next, Wilkin? What is next, my friend?
I don't know. I you know, the bidet wouldn't be bad. We got plenty of room in there. And I'm sure the plumbing could accommodate it. I mean, if I had to pick something out, that's what it would be.